Okay. Let me pray, and I'll give you two preliminaries, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to dig into this whole area of communication, that we might be able to exchange messages with each other and actually understand what the other person means. Father, we recognize that so many conflicts are because of miscommunication. As we dig into this, that we might be able to develop some skills or just be reminded of some things so that we are not doing that and we'll have more harmonious relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. That's kind of the goal of this particular session. What I've been trying to do is trying to figure out how to do the Bible studies I've done for years that are like, you know, 20 weeks long, every week, on a weeknight, in an environment that has changed when most people can't make it out on weeknights. And that commitment just doesn't work. So we're trying seminars, but that's a different format. So this is experimental. Hopefully, in a couple of years, I'll have this really down, and it'll be really good. So thank you for being my guinea pig. Communication, when we do parenting classes, is one of the first things we get into, because it is an aspect of parenting. Are you communicating well? How are you teaching your kids to communicate well? It's also something I do whenever I do premarital, which sessions are on communication, if I'm doing marital counseling. Most of the time, it goes right to communication, and I've probably passed out probably two cases of this book, Communication, Key to Your Marriage, because by and large, usually boils down to is they're not communicating well. And so there's conflict, and it's work. It takes work to communicate. So what do we mean by all that? Now, if just in case someone is logging on and we're a little late getting on, you can download the PDF of the notes at gracebibleny.org, Saturday-seminars. Go down the paragraph. There are links there. You can download the PDF. All right. All right, definitions. Well, Webster has a lot of definitions. So we started off with our communication problem with, like, what do we mean by communicate? So here's what he has. Process by which information is exchanged between individuals through a common system, symbols, signs, or behavior. And actually, being an entomologist, I left this one in there. That's how insects communicate, with pheromones. It's a chemical emitted outside the body, and they communicate that way. So lots of ways to exchange information. Okay, personal rapport. Two, information transmitted or conveyed could be a verbal or written message. Another one, communications. A system of communication like telephones, computers, things like that, transmitting exchange information. Military, system of routes for moving troops, spies, and vehicles. I didn't know that one. Personnel engaged in transmitting or exchanging information, so now we're getting technical. Then there's communications, plural. You didn't know there's all this definition just for this one word, did you? No wonder it gets complex, okay? So this is means of communication. Transmitting disease, communicable disease. So transmission stuff. And then another one I didn't know about, a connection between bodily parts. Well, we're going to be dealing just with the first definition. We're talking today about the exchange of information between people, and that includes information, ideas, and emotions. All those things are exchanged. But here's the problem. Much communication can take place with little or no communication occurring. A lot of talking, a lot of information flowing out there, and yet no understanding. And so there's something blocking it. That's what we want to try and overcome. Now, the first thing to recognize is that communication takes a lot of hard work. Guys especially don't seem to like that. It's like we've only got so many words per day, and we used them all up when we got up, and
you're done.
You know, just said, that was it. We said a couple of words, good morning, that was it. We're done for the day. So it takes a lot more for us. It takes hard work. And there's so many things can hinder, interfere with it. And a lot of times we end up having poor communication because we've hit a block someplace. We don't know how to overcome it. And over time, we keep getting hurt. And therefore, we just give up. I'm not doing that again. Every time I go that direction, I get hurt, so I won't bother. Guys tend to be a little more notorious for this. they give up a little more easily on communication, and they say, you know what, I'm just going to work in the garage. I'll just go do my hobby, something like that. So it's not easy. But let's talk about basic communication theory, because this is where the problem starts. People think they've communicated when in fact they have not. So I have a thought. I have to somehow get that thought into your mind. So I have to encode it. I have to make it in something that's meaningful, because my thought may just be a jumble of things. I have to somehow encode this into a message that can be transmitted, okay? I'll send it out to somebody. There's means by which that's done. The other person then has to receive the transmission, decode whatever it is I have sent as a message, and come up with the same thought I had. You can see that's a problem. Because everywhere along the way, there are problems. And communication affects not just the information, but there's emotion that gets tied with this. That creates another opportunity for noise. So I'm communicating more than just one thing. Information would be a little more simple, but since there's emotion that comes with it, now I've got more than one thing coming in to confuse me about, well, what actually is the message here? Hence, some problems. So let's talk about feedback then. This is why different forms of communication are better than other forms. It has to do with the feedback. So I've had this thought. I've encoded it. I've transmitted it. You've received it. You decoded it. You have an idea. But I don't know if the idea that you now have is the same idea that I have. So you have to somehow give me some feedback on same thing. Reverse process is, okay, now you have to take the thought that you thought I sent you. This can get confusing. The thought that I had, that I sent to you, that you think you now have, you're going to take and encode that yourself, transmit it, I'm going to receive it, I'm going to decode it, and see if I come up with the same thought. So it's a circle. And unless you thought the same thought that I thought, I didn't communicate. Guess where the responsibility now lies? On me. If I have not gotten you to think the thought that I thought, then I have failed in my communication. And it's my responsibility, since I'm the one who wants you to understand my message, to make sure you understand it. Often, we say whatever we say, and we just think, now I've said it, it's their responsibility. If they don't understand it, it's their problem. No, it's my problem. I have to make sure that they actually have understood what I have sent. Now, on the other side of it, if you are the person who actually wants to understand the message, you have a responsibility to make sure you understood it the way they meant it. You actually understood their message. So now I have two responsibilities in communication. Now, if you both take the responsibility seriously, you might actually think the same thoughts with each other. You've actually communicated. Does that sound like work? Yeah, that's work. And that's why there's problems. Because it is work. It's a lot. Now, the feedback mechanisms, they could be verbal. They could be nonverbal. There's a lot of, we'll talk about that a little bit. It could just be the face you give them, whether you smile. Let's put it this way. If you tell a joke, I'll tell one of myself. I tell lots of jokes that no one laughs at. My feedback mechanism was immediate, wasn't it? They didn't get it. Okay? Now, if they laugh, the feedback mechanism, oh, they understood my joke. So that's a simple illustration, but now you get it. It's a problem. I have to be getting this feedback, and I'm looking at all sorts of things that you're communicating back to me, whether you get it. Now, if it's something serious, I may say, do you understand what I said? The person could say yes and still not understand. If it's really serious, I may say, can you repeat back to me what you thought I meant? That's a good technique in arguments, right? Can you repeat that? What did I actually mean? You can find out sometimes is they had no idea what you were talking about. They thought something completely different. So feedback mechanisms are important. So I found this illustration, and this might make it a little easier. So you have a thought, some kind of message you want. You encode it, put it in some sort of language. You transmit it, and it gets transmitted, and there's single and there's noise. So out there it goes. Person receives it, decodes it, and then at the end you notice it's like, huh? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. So you feedback like, I'll try again. Sort of like on your cell phone since it's breaking up. I have no idea what you're talking about, every third word. noise. There's a lot of things that can block it. So that's just a basic communication theory. So you have the sender, and here are where the problems come. The first is, how clear is the thought in the person who wants to send a message? Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's had this. I have this idea, and I have no idea how to express it. So what's the clarity of thought? It's muddled. And if it's muddled in your mind, what is the possibility for anybody else receiving it? It's going to be confusion, right? The notes are over here.
Okay.
It'll just be confusion. It's going to be muddled. So it has to be clear in your own mind first if you want the other person to actually understand it. Now, ladies, I'll pick on you now. I've been picking on the guys. How often do you have something you want to communicate, but you're not exactly sure what it is? And then you wonder why he doesn't understand you. Okay? So clarity of thought is part of it. And that's why it's going to be going back and forth, because you still want to share this thought, and he still may want to understand the thought, and he's going to work hard at it, but you can go back and forth until you can clarify what actually it is that you're thinking. So we're going to start there. That's the first area. Are you clear in actually what you want to communicate? Because it could just be an emotion, but what's the basis of emotion? So it's going to take some work. What's the clarity of the thought? Second area, you're encoding it. That means there's got to be a language, and whatever means, there's vocabulary, there's syntax.
Gestures?
Gestures are part of it. And gestures vary from group to group.
Yes.
So what you think is one gesture, they may be taking as something else. There's a lot of issues here. You may be speaking the language, same language, sort of, hence the English and Americans. It's not really the same language, is it? Or from Maine to
South Carolina.
I was going to say North Carolina, because it's a little more nasally there, but that matches more Maine. Or how about Dothan, Alabama? Most beautiful language town. Oh, it is so sweet and melodic. It is pleasant to listen to. But if you don't understand it, you don't understand it. And they don't know what this speaking... You know, that goes with the Boston accent. The joke about the crows. The Boston Turnpike. I think I told you this one. The Boston Turnpike, they found a lot of crows were dying. And they couldn't figure out why, so they did have this big study. And in the study, they found out that trucks were killing almost all the crows. Hardly ever was a car killing a crow on the Mass Turnpike. And so they did some more study about crows and found out that in crows, there's usually one crow that's a watch out for all the other crows to give a warning. And it became immediately understandable why the trucks were killing the crows. Because the crows say, ca, ca, but it can't say truck.
Okay.
That's pretty bad, right?
That was good.
So it creates problems. What is your language? I don't know what you're talking about, okay? I spent a summer in Mississippi with my relatives, and they have all sorts of slang. I had no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they kept talking about, Tuesday week. More like, Tuesday week. A what? Saturday week. It's just week what? Backwards, forwards? I didn't know what they're there. Or used to could. They asked your uncle, can you do this? Used to could. Used to could. At one point, I was... Slang. So there's lots of issues even if you're speaking the same language. But what if it's like in the Dominican Republic and se hablo mexicano, no hablo español. And they got it. Enchilada, tortilla, you know. I can tell you the Mexican foods, but don't speak to me in Spanish. Don't know. So it can be a lot of variation. Syntax is part of it. So all along the way is the sound. How clear is it? Can I actually hear it? Are they speaking loud enough? If it's sight, is it clear or is it fuzzy? can I actually, if it's reading, can I actually read what's there, or is it too fuzzy to read? Is there haze between me and what I'm supposed to be seeing? Touch, we communicate a lot by touch, but was it too soft, too hard? Where was it touched? There's a difference between someone taking a touch and saying, Brandon's doing something he shouldn't be, and you slap his hand. That's touch. It communicated, right? Or he needs to be comforted, and you pick him up and you hold him. That's touch, too. It communicates. Well, how clear is the signal that you're giving? What's actually in it? So touch is there. Smell. Smells communicate. You walk in the house, and do you want to stay in the house? It depends. You smell apple pie. This is great. You find someone's come over and lit up a stogie. It's bad. Smells communicate things, too. Food cooking. Perfumes. They communicate something. Odors. Taste. You know, they will communicate things, too. Some farmers could still grab soil, put them out. Okay, I know what fertilizer I need. They got all the information they need because they know what they're tasting in the soil for what nutrients need to be there. I don't suggest you do that. Leave that to your two-year-old who's going to go out and make mud pies and eat them. All right? So there's all this, and that's just in you trying to encode it. Am I encoding what my message is properly so that I can be clear? Then you transmit it, and you have all the same kind of problems. There's means of transmission, and also has the sender's ability to do the transmission. So that covers vocal skills, physical skills, and then the medium transmission. So, for example, vocal skills, volume, loud enough, too loud. Clarity, cell phones again are a good example of that. Can you actually hear what the person's saying? Is it breaking up on you with the clarity of the sound? The articulation. How clearly is the person saying? Slurred speech. If your speech is slurred or your accent is that heavy, then the person may not understand you. If there's also tone of voice has a huge aspect of it. You said the right thing, but the wrong tone. The tone didn't communicate, it didn't match. There's physical skills, the ability to make a visual sign. You may or may not have it. How well can you write? That's going to be visual, but what's your skills physically to write legibly? I get the visitor cards. Sometimes it's a real guess trying to figure out what is on that card, but the skills aren't there. I know we've kind of gotten away from cursive writing in a way that's kind of good because block letters are a little easier to figure out than people's cursive writing, unless you're actually good at cursive writing. A lot of people don't have those skills, so that'd be part of it. What's your physical ability to create the right touch, to be gentle or be firm as you need to create the smells that you'd like, that's attractive to people, setting a mood, all those things. Medium transmission. Yeah, there's a lot here. There's print media, so that's notes, letters, signs, texting, email, books, newspapers, books, magazine, all that. There's audio media, so there's voice, there's loudspeakers, phone, there's radio, that's all audio. There's visual media, that's photos, graphic images, video images, signs, motions, body language, that's all visual. Then there's mixed media, so you're combining these things together, and a lot of times it is more of a combination of things we're dealing with. Especially in interpersonal communication. You see the person, that's one form of communication. You're hearing them as well. That's another one. So there's a lot of things that go on with that. So computer prints and graphics, all those kind of things. Now we get to the recipient. So the person's getting the information. Okay, so there's the means of transmission, and are they getting it? So again, for them, it's going to be same issues. There's hearing. They have a hearing problem. You're speaking loud enough, but not for them. They don't hear them. Or their hearing is kind of cuts in and out. They have certain tones they can't hear. There's the clarity. They don't understand your accent. already talked about that. There's the tone. They take the tone of voice you're using as a different meaning than what you intended. There's one for my wife and I mean to be intense. She thinks I'm defensive or angry. So what's the tone? Are we communicating the same thing? Seeing brightness, color, clarity, the contrast between it. It's one thing I get on to people all the time about using PowerPoint. Make sure there's enough contrast. Make sure it's clear. Make sure that people can understand what you're putting up on the screen. If not, it won't help. Sensitivity. If you go to the hospital and you want to comfort someone, you can hold their hand, touch them gently. And that usually communicates a lot. But what happens if they have one of these diseases where touching them brings extreme pain? Suddenly what you thought was a nice gesture suddenly is not communicating the same thing. Sensitivity to smells is another one. Can you distinguish the things that are there? Or taste, the same thing. You may want it to be one thing, but it's something else. This is great coffee, and the other person's spewing it out. So one person thought I was being very kind and generous. I made you this great cup of coffee. And the other person says, you're trying to kill me. Okay? It all has to do with perception of what's there. Okay? Then you have to decode this thing. You ever have a problem where the same word is used but two different meanings? What are you talking about? Synonyms, homonyms especially. Same word, what are you talking about? We don't know. Those become problems. I got to decode this. I got to figure out the vocabulary that's here. They use a word you don't know. If you take up the time to look it up, you're reading a book. It has a word. You've never seen this word. Do you grab your dictionary and go look it up? One. Two. We got two. Kindle's a little better because you just press the button and it gives you the meaning. That does help. I was reading some stuff by William Sims, who's an author from the mid-19th century. And he's using all these words like, I have no idea what these words are, at least not in that context. So I had to keep a dictionary with me and keep looking it up, and I wrote in the book what the meaning was so the next person along could actually figure out what he's talking about. Great writer for his period. I didn't have that vocabulary. I find that's true with a lot of people like the King James Bible. I grew up in the King James Bible. I understand it. But as I got into teaching, I found out the generation coming up behind me, unless they were a Shakespeare expert, had no idea what I was talking about. Having to explain hitherto to a little 8-year-old. That's what finally convinced me. I need to use a translation people understand. That's the reason I use what I do, the NAS. It's communication. The message needs to be something that's understood by the other person. So there's decoding. What are you seeing? What does that mean? Even that's true with multimedia. So there's a lot of these television commercials. If I happen to see one, I don't watch television a lot, I'm like, I have no idea what this commercial is about.
Yeah.
And you think, man, whoever's doing the marketing has really failed because I am clueless. I don't even know what they're advertising. And they get paid good money for this. It's like you're in a cloister someplace. You're advertising to yourself. Meaning what's touch, meaning of what is smell. What does that mean? Okay? You smell fire. You smell smoke. What does that mean? Well, if I'm smoking meat out there, it means great dinner coming tonight. If I'm not doing that, it probably means you better call the fire department. Something's burning that's not supposed to be burning, right? Get the idea. Meaning what's tasted. Then there's a clarity of the thought of the recipient. How clear is your mind once you've gone through all this to know what is meant? So again, it becomes a problem. So I have a thought, but down at the other end, I have a question mark. I have an idea. Can I transmit this to you in some way? Go through this whole process so you can understand it. That's why feedback's important. Because until that other person has thought the same thought, you have not successfully communicated. Hence, a lot of problems in the communication. So, again, interference. The thought of the sender is not clear even to sender. Encoding is hindered by lack of language skill to be able to express the thought that is there. Transmission, there's all sorts of noise. lack of volume, clarity, haze, faulty equipment, can't get the message over to the other person. Then there's the decoding problem or the reception problem, hindered again by noise and all the rest is the same as transmission. I got to decode this thing. I don't understand their language, their meaning. My language skills are not enough. I have an alternative about vocabulary. Our words keep changing meaning so fast, you keep getting lost. A lot of words that I grew up with, is they don't mean the same thing at all. You have to stop using them. IFCA International, every time I use that, I'm like, what's IFCA? Well, I had to go through this whole thing, what it used to mean. Key word in the middle of it used to be Independent Fundamental Churches of America. Biggest problem we had? Fundamental changed meaning. Fundamental is the football. Get back to basics. But after Ayatollah Khomeini, the word fundamental changed in a religious context to, these are people who want to lop off your head. Change meaning. So vocabulary changes. It may not mean the same thing. So that's a huge problem, decoding things, different definitions. And then the thought of the recipient, not clear due to your own experience. You understood what they said, but your experience changes the meaning of that thought to something else. It was meant one way, you understood even maybe what went, but your most reaction is different because of your own experience. Or you have preconceived ideas about it, or you read into the message. You think they're saying something they actually didn't say because you're reading into it. Or you read a book, you read between the lines. A lot of people do that. Or it's they sent the message, you understood the message, but you don't believe it because you don't trust them. All those things are part of that. So noise, interference, it can come anywhere. It could be physical noise. It could be emotional baggage that's tied in with things. It could be semantics of how the word was said or what the word actually means. All those things, and anywhere along the process, you have noise and interference. Okay, so this is crucial to us to understand this part, because if I understand this, then I'm not going to be so upset because the other person didn't understand me. And that often becomes a problem. Hard of hearing is a classic on this one. The person says what they say, the other person doesn't understand, or assumes they understood and didn't actually hear because it was all muddled to them. And now they get this big argument going, and it starts escalating when it could have been a simple question in the beginning and end up with this huge fight because you didn't understand. It was just noise. If I understand it's difficult, then I'm going to make the extra effort. Okay, I'm not sure you understood me. My grandfather was always interesting to talk to. Because you'd be talking to him, and he'd be kind of quiet, and then he'd start talking about something that had nothing to do with what you're talking about. And you're like, I wonder what he thought I was talking about. Well, now I know. It wasn't what I was talking about. Group settings were always classic, because the conversation moves on, and it can be 5 minutes or even more, and then he launches off on the subject that was a long time ago. But we were courteous because he's our elder, and we'll listen to him. He didn't hear us. Well, whose responsibility is? It's both. I need to make sure I'm communicating in a way they can hear, and the person hard of hearing needs to make sure you're communicating, I didn't understand you. Be kind and considerate. Please, can you rephrase that, speak a little more clearly. Can you write it down? Maybe then I'll understand it. All right? This is why it's difficult. I have to make sure I'm overcoming. But if I understand it's difficult work, then I'm a little more amiable to putting in the work to actually get clear communication. If I'm not understanding this, then I'm just making assumptions. I'm getting mad when I don't need to be mad. I'm getting upset when I don't need to be upset. Miscommunication does not have to be the reason for knock out, drag on fights. And yet so often that is the problem. Not just in marriage, but in any kind of communication between people. Work situations, you name it, it's going to come up. Am I understanding that I have a responsibility to make sure the other person actually understood what I was talking about? and keep working at it. And if someone's committing to me, I'm going to take responsibility. I want to make sure I understand what they're talking about instead of making assumptions. Those are all very, very important. Okay, so interference. So let's talk about a little fun here. The pros and cons of different means of communication. Okay? So here's some different things. We could probably put a lot more of them, but now we understand a little bit about noise communication. Some of your feedback. Which do you think is probably the least, or I'll put it this way, which method of communication here would probably have the greatest potential for confusion?
Texting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why?
It can misinterpret the tone.
Okay. In texting, is there usually a tone? Well, okay, wait. I'm sorry. I have an old phone. You have these smartphones that have emojis. And if you send me one of those, all I get is little square boxes. So you're right. Texting is a word. I have no idea what your tone was. Boxes.
The sound sounds like that's important, right?
But that is a huge part of it because the more means by which you have to communicate, the greater you can have clarity. Texting becomes, these two, become the least because you can't get an idea of the feedback very well. You're relying only on the words, and in these two, there tends to be cryptic little symbols.
Not even complete sentences.
Okay, I'm still not quite sure what LOL means because I've seen it in several contexts. Laugh out loud? Lots of love? I don't know. Okay? Land of lakes? You're talking about butter? I don't know. All right? So you have all these codes. So this becomes a real problem. I remember having to deal with this, a couple of teenagers where instant messaging just came out, and they're having this drag-out fight. And they said, well, send me what you were talking about. So they sent me the whole thing, and I'm looking at it like, no wonder you're fighting. Who can figure out what this is about? Because it's all in code and crypt, and they obviously didn't understand what the other one was talking about. Now, so of course, as you go to the top then, obviously verbal, face-to-face is the best form of communication. Why? Because there's immediate feedback. I can see their facial expression. I can see their gestures. I immediately know whether I'm getting through or not. I can immediately change and whatever my communication is to correct if there's a problem. With texting, I got to send it, wait for response, send it, wait for response, and if you're going like me, very slowly, it could be a long time. I forgot what the message was by the time I finished writing. All right, letters and emails, same thing. So obviously, if you're a distance verbal with a video phone, those are real nice. Because you actually can see the person, you get at least a little bit. Phone is still better than some of these others, but letter and email, what advantage would this have over this?
More time to think.
Exactly. So just because it doesn't have all the forms doesn't mean it's necessarily the least effective. I like writing letters and emails because I can give to somebody else and say, check me out before I send this. Have I communicated clearly? Is this understandable? Did I miss something? And that even goes into like punctuation. Punctuation can change the meaning of what you're sending. So to have someone else check it out, I can be careful, I can rethink my thoughts, I can change it around, so I can send something that's not in the heat of the moment. The other thing that this can do is slows you down. Why do arguments escalate?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotion, quick communication. Yeah. Nobody slowed this thing down to actually say, let's think about it for a few minutes. Well, if you're writing a letter, email, something like that, is you have to go slower. Mm-hmm. And even the process of taking your thoughts and having to put it down in a written language makes the thoughts more clear. A lot of times the mouth is running before the brain's in gear. So we're just spewing stuff out, and what was the thought getting to it? Not much. So emotion then takes over, and so we have problems. So each of these can have advantages. What's the advantage of texting? I had to say at least one positive thing about this. To show that I know I'm living in the 21st century, the new millennium.
We needed the password to that, so we had to text.
Okay, that's exactly right, because now, if it's on the phone, it could be muddled, not quite sure, but now it's visual. I can see exactly what it is. I had uppercase, lowercase. You send it to me, I know exactly what it is. Or if it's a long distance and the person really doesn't have to have, they can't answer and talk with you, but they could probably text and not disturb everybody. They're in a meeting. Okay, so there are some advantages to it.
I just know, sorry to interrupt, but when my brother, he's in a different time zone, it's not as steady to point maybe to a time zone texting.
It can be. So there's pros and cons to every form of communication. What we have to think through is, am I being careful to use the correct form of communication for what I'm trying to accomplish? May not be. A lot of times when there's really getting into arguments, I tell them, write it down, go slowly, work through this. Take your time, because you may not be able to do face-to-face without getting too upset. All right, so there's a lot of different pathways of communication. Each has strengths and weaknesses. All right. Auditory. Words used greatly affected by volume and tone with which they're said. I just wanted to emphasize that again. Maybe it's personal because Diane usually gets upset because my tone isn't what she's expecting. And then we start escalating and she's, you're being defensive. And then I say, well, you're attacking, and all around and around we go. And, you know, it took me a long time. Our first year of marriage was actually pretty rough. Even though we had had three different sessions of premarital counseling, three different times we went through it, we were both read shelves of books on relationships and courting and dating and marriage, and we still had a rough time. I was a typical guy, she's a typical woman. We didn't speak the same language. I have no sisters. The closest female relative I have in my age group was 2,000 miles away in Mississippi. My cousins. I only saw them once a year. There was no one for me to be interacting with to understand how does the female mind work. And my mother tends to be a tomboy. I was in trouble. And it took me a while to figure that out. And I finally put it in this phrase, I had to learn how to hug a porcupine. How do you hug a porcupine? You learn to dance. Because you got to get around in front. Because you know the porcupine needs a hug. But every time you're approaching it, it swirls around and you got the barbs and they hurt. Okay? When I learned that, and that what she was actually was an emotional reaction, not my words, not everything else, she wanted to be comforted. She did not need me to explain everything and solve every problem. She needed me to listen to her. To sit down with her on the couch and look at her eye to eye, which is like, I could be doing so many things while you talk to me. But I have to sit on the couch with her looking eye to eye. How are you really doing? That took a while for me. He's like, well, we could be standing in the same room. You could tell me everything. Let's get things done while we're doing it. Let's multitask. No, I need to look at you. Because there's a whole emotional component, and I was missing the whole boat. Guess whose fault it was? Mine. All right? I commanded to love her and to live with her according to knowledge, to figure her out, understand her. It just took me a while. Fortunately, I had some good counselors who gave me some clues. And she had good counselors who gave her clues because she had no idea how to figure me out. She was very close to her sister below her. Then there's a brother who she really didn't interact as much with. And then the younger sister she did a lot with. So her communication was more with just girls. See, all these girls in your family, all these girls in your family's learning. This little boy of a grandson is really, really, really different. And all the aunts are figuring out, they're not like our sisters. This is different. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes in here into the auditory. Your tone, your volume. I'll give you another one on this one. Guy, I had a business in doing landscaping. He came into the office, and he had a rough time getting in the office, and he was upset. And as he came in, the phone was ringing. He grabbed the phone, and he's talking to this lady. It's a client. And, he says what he needs to say. And he goes about his business, does work, comes back to the office in the afternoon, and he hits his messages. When he picked up the phone that morning, it had just clicked in, and it recorded his whole message, the whole conversation he had with this woman. He immediately called the woman and had to apologize. This poor lady had been spending the day wondering why her landscaper is so upset with her. And she was distraught until he called and to explain himself and to apologize. Like, I'm sorry, I was upset. I did not mean to sound the way I sounded on the phone. Because now he heard it. He didn't recognize it when he was saying it. He heard it when it was recorded and realized he was really rude to this lady. And this poor lady, innocent as can be, is like, I have no idea. What did I do? Why is he so upset with me? Tone means a lot. And the tone may not be related to you. It could be from something else. Hence, again, it's noise. What actually is going on? All right? We all can get in those points where we just say, you know what? Leave me alone because it's probably not good to talk to me. The family knows problems with computers. If I am in my room, not on the phone, and I'm talking to the computer, just stay out of the room. Okay? Because I'm probably not going to use the right tone of voice with you. Get it? Okay. So that's a big part. Another one, visual body language. This is huge. Your body language changes the message that you've given verbally. Huge. And we often don't think about it. But there's so much we're picking up by body language. Is the person looking at you directly? Or they're talking to you over here. Yeah? Uh-huh. Right? Okay. What does that tell you? One of the reasons I was attracted to Diane is I was watching her as she's talking to people, and she looks straight in the eye. In fact, so much so, it makes you uncomfortable. It's like, straight in the eye. When she says, how are you really doing? She's looking straight in the eye, you're like, oh, I'll tell you. Yeah, she's seeing you into your soul, you know? And in the large church we're in, so often you're talking to people, and they are. They're talking to you like this. You have no interest in what I'm saying. That's your body language. Or how about this? You're both sitting down, and the person in the chair and leans forward as you're talking. Okay? What does that mean? I am really listening. As opposed to, you're both in chairs, and they slouch back, and their eyes start glazing over. Or they're at their desk, and they kick their feet up and put them on the desk and kind of lean back. What does that communicate? I don't really care what you say. Or I should have gotten some sleep last night because I can't stay awake. Body language is huge.
What do you do about cultural things? Because there are some cultures, you look at somebody straight in the eye and it's considered rude. Challenging.
Yeah.
Or even threatening. I know some places in New York City, you look at someone straight in the eye and you better be ready to fight.
That's where it becomes a noise problem. Because it's a language. Your body languages are... They are body expressions. They're languages. They have different symbols. There was a classic on The Gods Must Be Crazy, a movie that was advocated to us if you're going to go on foreign missions, because you can see this problem communication. There's this one tribe, when they mean yes, they go like this. When they mean no, they go like this. Boy, that could get you in trouble. Opposite of what most people is yes, no. It was exactly opposite. You have to learn the language. You have to slow it down.
So these can be interference as well as communication because...
Right. Same way with your vocabulary. You say this one word and they think it means one thing, but they're taking it as something completely different. So all of these things can prompt. That's why... communication interculturally and with people of a foreign language becomes very difficult. Okay, how well do they understand the language? Why is it that we want to give the gospel in the language in which the person was raised in? They're going to understand it better. And it's such an important message, we want them to clearly understand this message. So there's a lot of work trying to translate it into their native language, rather than just saying, well, you need to learn my language. You know, I'm going to do the work because I really want you to understand this message. And that means a lot of work trying to figure out a lot of stuff, right? And there's differences even in the same language, but different cultures within it. When I was in the DR, I got a lot of information about how Mexicans are very different and don't speak Spanish. That's right. Going to California, it's Mexican Spanish that I've heard all my life, and they're like, what are you guys talking about? Even when I could understand something, especially since they drop the ends of letters or words, they don't put the last letter on it. So I don't know what the word was either, so I'm really confused. I really confused David. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Same word, different meaning too. So just because they use the same quote-unquote language, it can be a different dialect, and the meaning of the words within those dialects be very, very different. So all this is part of it. But going back to body language, we are expressing ourselves by what we're doing, how we're doing it. There is always something going on, and that's a big part of our communication.
Hey, Pastor, I got a question kind of before you go on, kind of what Ed was saying too. Even working in my environment, maybe, you know, I've kind of worked in a shop environment, so you get people like, thank you, sir, or you're welcome, and all that. They don't like that. They'll say thank you, or don't say sir, or I'll say, oh, I'm sorry about that, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I think I know the answer to the question, but what do you do then? Like, I tell them just something like, this is the way I was raised, it's programmed inside of me to say these things when I do something. But I remember one time when I first started working, it's a quick story, I said, oh, thank you, sir. He's like, don't call me sir, you don't have to be thankful for anything. You know, I didn't say anything, but I'm just like, and this guy was like in his 60s.
He's
he's like grumpy. Like, he was like, and I'm just like, I just had a prank, and I'm just like,
okay. Yeah, I think that is what he said before about the person's history and emotions. Mm-hmm. Someone in the past, we would say that sarcastically to him. So that's what that's how he's interpreting it. Right? So, but it seems like it's a responsibility now of the sender to understand that and to change our message.
Which means you're going to talk to him. It's like, why does that offend you? I'll give you more class. This comes in the parenting class. Because we advocate that children use terms of respect. So, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, is good. Or, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. Some term of respect. And children should not call adults by their first name. Why? Because they've not attained to the same age to be of, it's disrespectful. They're not equals yet. And so they need to do something. They need to use aunt, uncle, figure out something, but they should be there. So you often end up with an adult who does not want a child to call them Miss, Mrs., Mr. They don't want that. They just use my first name. So you start asking, well, why does that bother you? If you can find out, now you can address the problem. Sometimes it's because, well, it makes me feel old. Okay, you may have to be the bearer of bad news. And just let them know, you might want to go look in the mirror and recognize that you're not a child anymore. You're an adult, and you get adult terms for you. Okay? My child will still use terms of respect for you. Here's your options. It could be Miss, Mrs., Mr., Uncle, Aunt, something, but there's going to be a term of respect, because I'm going to teach my child to be respectful, whether you want the respect or not. And actually, even when you deserve it. So now it comes back to, I need to educate people about what God actually wants us to do. So in a case like this, if you find out, it's like, well, why does that offend you? That calls you sir? You know, I mean it as a, but now you explain yourself, is I mean this as a term of respect. Like you said, I was raised this way to be respectful, and that's what I'm striving to show you. But you're reacting in kind of a very different way. Why does that bother you? Okay, now you just open up the door of communication. You might be able to encourage this person. Maybe get them to see a different kind of world. And that's going to be part of our goal too, especially as Christians. We want them to understand the world as God sees it. So all this doesn't mean we cater the other person to all their whims and wishes, but it means we're striving to communicate in such a way that I can actually get my message across. If they're not receiving it, I need to find out why. What's the problem? Fix the problem. If the problem is one of culture, misunderstandings, things like that, okay? Including if you're learning, is like, why? I'm not challenging you. You're looking me in the eye. I'm sorry, I did not realize that was challenging to you. No disrespect. So we can explain ourselves. But you will recognize if you're looking in the eye and they're becoming aggressive that there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now, hopefully you, well, you used to run track. You can run away faster.
No.
Not now.
Well, I used to could have, whatever.
You could have. All right? So this is all in part. So body language is huge. And so often we're not even recognizing what's going on. We don't even recognize the body language we get. So sometimes be aware of that. Lighting and smell is actually something that communicates a lot. You recognize you can set a mood for communication by lighting and the smells that are around. Let me give you some stuff here. Okay. Compare the two. Which would you rather have if you're having a date?
Candlelight
dinner. All the ladies say that. Right? Which would you rather have if it's a business lunch and you only got 15 minutes? I like to see what I'm eating too. It's like, listen, I got to get in and out of this, right? Okay. Okay. All right. Soft light in the living room, sitting around on couches, or you're in an office. One person's across there with his office chair on the other side of the desk, and you're sitting on this side. Which is more conducive to opening up and being vulnerable? The living room. Which is more of a, I'm interviewing you for a job. Office with a desk. All right? This is part of it. So, obviously, why did we like to have Bible studies in a living room? You open up and more vulnerable. You're more comfortable. As opposed to something there. Since I have an office and a desk, I learned that there are times you can use it very effectively. Making sure I'm the one in charge and you're not. That's why your boss does it that way. Okay? A lot of times I might come around behind my desk and there's a couple chairs there and I sit with you. Alright? Sometimes it's pragmatic. And yes, I know, premarital is usually in my office, the other side of the desk. That's because my wife's in the living room, which is where I'd rather sit. Usually, by the third or fourth session, premarital people are opening up, so it works anyways. Dinner table or classroom with tables. Obviously, if you're dinner table, what are the smells around the dinner table, too? You're probably enjoying something. If you're classroom with tables, it may be formal, but certainly it's much more personable if I'm sitting around a dinner table talking about things. Okay? So those things all make a difference. Okay, here's another one. Benches at a campfire is composed of a classroom and a circle. You're both of them in a circle. What's the difference here? The setting. Okay? Yeah, is this one of those group counseling sessions? We're all in the classroom, the lights are bright, and we're talking about things, or I'm having a good time around a campfire, and you start breaking into some conversation that can become very deep. Right. So settings, all these things are part of communication. That's all the reason I'm bringing these things up. It's just all part of it. Okay? All right, we're going to take a break. There's coffee over here.